like I talk it. Walk it, walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it. Woo. Walk it like I talk it.
Yeah.
Walk it like I talk it.
Walk it,
walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it.
Woo.
Walk it like I talk it.
Hey.
Walk it like I talk it.
Walk it,
walk it like I talk it.
Walk it,
walk it like I talk it. Walk it like I talk it.
Hi, this is John Amazon, and welcome to the next podcast presented to you by the Psychologist Association of Alberta. The purpose of the podcast is to present information timely, topical, and even controversial to the membership. I broke in today with the Mikos and their song Walk It and Talk It, because the very first article I want to talk about is one that I found in the Neuroskeptic, and it's just too good not to do. The guy that writes a Neuroskeptic, he looks for interesting and dodgy sorts of things that are going on in the field of psychology and in the field of, you know, neuroscience and whatever it is. And the lead-in in this one, his very first paragraph, I'm just going to read it to you. If you delve into the wildest depths of the scientific literature, you'll find a trilogy of papers so weird that they become legendary. All right, there is a 12-year period in which these three articles were published, and I'll read the title of each of the articles. Is there association between the use of high-heeled footwear and schizophrenia? Physical activity, eccentric contractions of plantar flexors, and neurogenesis, therapeutic potential of flat shoes in psychiatric and neurological disorders. And then finally, flat shoes increase neurogenesis. Now, the author, or the Neuroskeptic author, he read these, he delved into them, and he looked at it, and he says that he was pretty sure that this was one of those hoaxes, right? Because what the guy was saying was essentially that the source of schizophrenia is high-heeled shoes, and that it was the introduction of high-heeled shoes as opposed to flat shoes that introduced schizophrenia 1,000 years ago or whatever it is. And he quotes, this is a quote from the very first paper. I'll read you what the guy wrote. And it's important we think about this stuff, because when you read this, this is the kind of thing you'll be sitting around with colleagues, or you'll have a patient come in, and they will look at you with all earnestness, and they'll start going through this. I remember with NLP, both NLP and EMDR, an earnest conversation with someone that was talking about the limbic system and the operation of midbrain facets, and how, you know, and they used all this detail and blah blah blah, right? And they said this will all be shown sooner or later in MRIs, etc. That was over 10 years ago, and so I'm still waiting for this brilliant sort of neuro research to emerge that shows how people change through EMDR by analysis of brain structure. But anyway, listen to this. During walking synchronized stimuli from mechanoreceptors in the lower extremities increase activity in the cerebellothalamocortical cerebellar loops through their actions on NMDA receptors. Using heeled shoes leads to weaker stimulation of the loops. Reduced cortical activity changes dopaminergic function, which involves the basal ganglia thalamocortical negro basal ganglia loops. Now, you see, boy, that's all this stuff. So his original paper, that's what he was saying was causing schizophrenia. Anyway, the author of this and the Neuroskeptic, he was sure this was a hoax, because he couldn't find any other publications by this guy, and he couldn't find any university references or anything like that he was associated with the university. But he found out it was, in fact, absolutely real. There's an article, apparently, that was published in the news, and this guy is a 67-year-old man. He's a hobby researcher from Sweden, and he states, I'm not joking with people. I really believe this. He said, I'm mocked and all this, but eventually they will find out, and it will be thus and such. So I just could not resist doing a podcast on that article. Now, a little bit about the podcast. You know, I've been doing these for a long time, and I mostly do them because it brings me great joy. Also, it helps me stay in touch with the literature, because I actually do review article after article after article. Now, I look at them, open them, look at the abstract, and then if it's necessary, go into the article. And so it makes me feel bright, and it's actually good for people as they age to do such things. However, you guys, in full disclosure, it's hilarious, because as I go back, there are some that I've had 25 and 30 hits on, but there's some that will have 4. Over time, that might climb to 8, and I haven't looked at anything like the average number of hits per podcast, but it's always really modest. If you follow it, you can see. You can look when you tune in to listen to one. You'll see how many hits there's been, and it's more to be ashamed of, and for you guys to be embarrassed for me on my part. But anyway, so there's our first article, and it's this guy from Sweden who says high heels have caused schizophrenia. And he can run through those the brain like crazy and show us that there's lots of reasons for it. In a summary of an article that was published, the article was published in the Journal of Experimental and Social Psychology and Emotion, this work has been published in both of those, including Psychological Science. And one of the authors is, I'm not going to be able to pronounce her name, Leah Bomirsky. She's written a book on The Howl of Happiness, which is a really actually pretty good book. I read it. I had a friend who was asking about, what should they read about happiness? And she's a researcher from the University of California in Riverside. And her stuff is really good. And what these three researchers that have done this were published in those journals. And what they have said is that people believe that success leads to happiness. In other words, drive, reward, and the reward will be happiness. And theirs is that it's the opposite. Happiness relates to subjective well-being, positive emotions, and then those lead on to success. Now, let me go into some of the stuff they have to say. First, in their research, they found that people who are happier in general, be happier with their work because they're more satisfied with their jobs. They make the best of it. In other words, they find ways to extract from it a reasonable degree of satisfaction and happiness. They get greater social support from coworkers, and they get better performance evaluations. As a result, they may be promoted more, so they succeed more. people who are holding on and experiencing are held by positive emotions. They go above and beyond. They're less absent from work. And again, there's a correlation between their level of happiness, not measured directly to the job. I mean, you don't say, do you like your job on a scale from, Likert scale kind of thing. But really, they say they do a global measure of happiness, and then they measure objective objective measures of success at work, the standards of what we would constitute for us success at work, and they find, gosh, those two things carry out. They also did some research on folks who were graduating out of university, and they looked at folks, and they looked at people who were more happy in general, and those that were less happy, and the ones that were more happy were more likely to have more job interviews and follow-up interviews later on. Let's see. So what they were saying is this: if you're feeling more positive, you have more ambitious goals. You like more challenging tasks. You're better at things that take that are more tedious and are more frustration promoting. And then, as a result of that, you succeed. They also caution that. They say, well, it doesn't mean that unhappy people won't succeed. A person can be in a certain situation in a period of their lives or a period of history where there's unhappiness. But there is a sort of optimistic perspective that will carry even unhappy people forward better. And extroverts are more happy than introverts in general. We have spoken of in other podcasts the issue of terrorism. Now, also, there was a column I did in Symposium a while back on the issue of who and what and how people affiliate with groups that would be considered terrorist. And the British Army has put out a behavioral guide for this stuff. And in an article that was published in the Progressive, I think Progress, it was hilarious because they said when you take the British Army guide based on behavioral analysis and correlates to affiliation with far-right extremist groups and even groups that are dangerous, it says that that a whole lot of conservative politicians, Republicans in the United States, fit this, and that Trump checks enough boxes so he would be put on a watch list or a surveillance list. All right, in keeping with our theme about walking, I'm going to do a a collaboration with Stevie Tyler and Run DMC, Walk This Way.